This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. What a day. I mean, this has been an incredible time, and nobody had. You get the Jets and Giants playing primetime games this week. Both teams 2-3 as we enter week 6. Giants play on Sunday night against the Bengals at home. Jets play Monday night against the Bills at home. You get the Mets and Yankees both in the postseason at the same time. Yankees lose last night. Mets game 3 today out at Citi Field after last night game 2 in the Bronx. Obviously, Yank series will shift to Kansas City for game 3 tomorrow, but the Mets back home for the next 2 days here taking on the Phillies is going to be electric. Nobody had Robert Saleh getting fired this week too, BT, and that has taken precedent all day long so far on the Fan.
It has, but I know it's not stifling your enthusiasm for your Metsies. Let's at least get the Mets lineup out there. You guys heading out to City. I got it for you.
Get out there early. I'm not going to be able to get there until right around first pitch because I got the Baseball Night New York show at 3:30.
Yeah.
Off the air at 4, rushing to the train, going to go there, and I cannot wait to get there, but go hang out. I'm hoping to be there by first pitch, which I know Keith Hernandez, I think, is throwing out the first pitch.
I read that he's throwing it to Franco.
Johnny Franco.
Wouldn't Franco throw it to Keith? Franco's the pitcher.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, either way, I know they're doing a couple of former Mets captains, so.
Keith is Keith.
Yeah, we love John, but Keith is Keith. I got you. All right, so Lindor, Vientos, and Nimmo, a 1-2-3, Pete in a 4 spot, Iglesias number 5, Winker is back in there as a DH, Marte, Taylor back in, obviously Bader played a little bit over the weekend, Taylor back, Alvarez, Manaea against those Phillies.
I don't have a problem with that. I think they're going to smoke Aaron Nola today. I think they're going to pound Aaron Nola. I just think the crowd is going to be, I get the feeling that the Phillies aren't even going to know what hit them. Now, that's got to start for the offense, and I do think Manaea is going to dominate today, or at least be more dominant than he's been. Remember last time we talked about this going to the Milwaukee start, where you're like, yeah, maybe 5 innings. So I'm like, 5 innings? He's getting 7 innings minimum, and he went 5 innings, and it ended up costing the Mets. This is a day, especially with the state of the Mets bullpen. I don't even want to see Edwin Diaz. I want to see 8 innings of Manaea, and I want to see like an 8-1 Mets lead going to the ninth inning where you don't even bring an Ottavino into that game. That's the type
of mop up.
I expect a rocking. Oof. I really just do get that feel. The Mets are going to mop the floor with the Phillies today.
I don't have that feel. I don't have the other feel that the Phillies are going to be the ones doing the mopping. But you know, first of all, the place is going to be insane. You're absolutely right. The Phillies, baseball's odd. You just never really know when you kind of click in a little bit there. And like the way they celebrated game 2, the energy that they emitted, some of their big dogs getting squaring up some pitches. Now, Manaea is obviously very good. He's who you want out there. He's the ace. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a high-scoring game. Like, I don't think it's going to be 3-2. I don't think Manaea gets pounded by any shot. I don't think he puts up a stat line like Rodon did last night. He's going to go deeper than that. But I think Defoe's going to hit a little bit the next couple of days at Queens. I wouldn't look past that. Man. They can hit when they're hot. They can hit.
Deeper than the 3 2/3? Yeah. I mean, Kodai Senga could have gone deeper than that. Yeah. I mean, geez. Well, that was embarrassing. Anyway, we did a little Yankees to start the show, but then we had the breaking news of Robert Saleh. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019. Adam is in Morristown. What's up, Adam?
What's up, man? How's it going? I agree with a lot of you guys saying about the Jets, right? But who do we trade for to get Reddick?
Bryce Huff. He's been awful.
Terrible, right? So I don't know how that's a misstep on our part. I mean, Reddick promised he'd be in the building. He's going to be a lifelong Jet.
And the Jets believed him like idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can agree with both those things. But
okay.
You have a guy who left one playoff team, a future playoff team.
Yep.
He's shooting himself in the foot. This guy's not smart. The Jets aren't smart. That's a no-win situation for either of these guys.
I tend to agree. And the one thing that you got to add, though, you know, Bryce Huff, who's not worth the $17 million he's getting. By the way, I mean, he has been awful. But the Jets knew how to use him. He flourished here. Eagles
right.
don't use him.
But now they're using McDonald the same way. The McDonald's looking great this year.
Yeah, he has looked good. That's true.
Year.
That's true.
Yeah.
So then
why trade for Reddick?
I agree. I 100% agree with you. I don't know. I don't know. That is still. That's a no-win on any of that. Like I agree 100% with that.
You're right, Adam, and thank you for the call, that the Jets read the Huff situation properly where they didn't think he was worth that much. However, to them, to the Jets, he might have been worth that much because he was very effective with the Jets. I don't think that it's Huff all of a sudden who forgot how to play.
Correct.
I think they're not using him right. So if he were here, he would have been just as productive as he has been in years past. Now you want to say, well, McDonald has emerged and they're using him. Sure, but then why trade for Reddick?
Yeah, I think that McDonald has probably surpassed what they thought he would be this year.
Right,
I think that's the answer.
Right.
And, and by the way, Bryce Huff's not a three-down, four-down guy.
Yeah.
He's just not. He's not going to get – not that Reddick's going to really be great against the run, but he's a little bit better than Huff.
Mike is in Massapequa. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm listening to you guys. I also listened to Stephen A. Smith this morning, and I think that this whole problem really is ownership. Right. When you have the opportunity at a certain point to pursue possibly, and I repeat that possibly, going out and getting Belichick, okay, the whole dynamic of the team is going to change. Right. So we're blaming, you know, the coordinator, we're blaming Saleh, you know, we're blaming so many people. And in reality, it's Woody's fault. I mean, that's the bottom line. You have a chance to get potentially one of the greatest all-time head coaches of all time, and you just let that slip away, right? So they're talking Devontae Adams, you know, they're talking how bad Aaron Rodgers has been. The bottom line is the Jets could have won these games, so it's not terrible. The run game is terrible. The defense is fantastic. Right, so
Not really. It's not fantastic, and it certainly hasn't been, Mike. And thank you for the call from the start of the season on. If the defense, like, look at the Niners. The Niners are getting beat left and right. Niners are coughing up leads. Like, they're not as good as everybody thought that they were. And the Jets got steamrolled by the 49ers defensively. Couldn't stop a backup running back, and they got embarrassed in week one. So let's not just say, well, the defense is great.
That's not great.
It's been a little bit of everything. Week two, to your point, PT, as you keep saying, they were lucky to win that game in week two against the Titans. Defense, again, wasn't ready to play out of the gate.
Then they got thrown a bone by the schedule makers, a quick turnaround against an awful team at home, and they did what they're supposed to do against the Patriots team that stinks. But, yeah, the Niners don't look very good at all. They lost again this past week. They're a disaster right now. So I think the other thing, too, is like I think when you look at what transpired this past week in London, I mean, Aaron Jones got hurt, which changed the entire complexion of what the Minnesota Vikings were trying to do. And when he got hurt, there was there's a correlation. That was the appreciable drop-off point in offensive production. So, yeah, the Jets defense gave him a chance to win. They also got a gift because a really stud running back got hurt.
Also, Sauce could have made that interception, would have changed the game. Like, yeah, I mean, I know the drops happen all the time or dropped interceptions. Yeah, but you want to be a great defense for a great player? You got to be able to make that play.
They're a good defense. Okay. They're not a great defense.
Now, where I will agree with him is that the Jets had a chance, and you and I talked about it in real time for weeks. They had a real chance to upgrade what we all knew was the worst head coach in the NFL. Not only upgrade just because almost anything would have been an upgrade, but you had Belichick, and as unrealistic as that may have been, you had Vrabel and you had Harbaugh. three, and it, for me, like, my number one would have been Harbaugh or Belichick. Let's take Belichick out because he doesn't like Woody. He doesn't want to come in the Jets. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh was realistic. Go give him whatever he wants.
Yep.
And everything would have changed. Rodgers would have been kind of an afterthought, or at least a side note. It would have been the Jim Harbaugh experience. That's what the Jets needed. They chose to stick with Robert Saleh in lieu of Belichick, Harbaugh, and Vrabel at the very least. And they got what they deserved then.
Okay, so I don't disagree with that. What about the thought Woody wanted to fire Saleh at the end of the season, but based on Rodgers' rehab and his age and his connection to Hackett, if it would have been a Belichick or a Harbaugh who's coming in with a new OC, you know, maybe it's almost like Woody couldn't wait to move on from Saleh. And if you do it during the season, at the first real point where you can justify doing it, it's not like Rodgers can quit. But, like, say if he would have hired somebody, and Rodgers very easily could have said, you know what, I don't want to go through a new OC, or I don't like who you coach, or who you're hiring as the new coach, and I'm just going to pack it and call it a day. But maybe that's part of it.
But that's the problem. Therein lies the problem, is that they're making these decisions based on what a 41-year-old past his prime quarterback is thinking. And I love Aaron Rodgers, but I'm also not letting him run my team. Greg is in Huntington. What's up, Greg?
How are you guys this morning?
What's up,
actually,
Greg?
Actually, it's afternoon already, huh?
Hey, Greg, what's going on?
I'm disgusted. So here's my thing. I've listened, Baldy, having him on, really spelt everything out. Saleh is like a greeter at the door, has been for the longest time, tries to weave and put things together for people there, and really worthless as a head coach, but a great face for the franchise. And everyone underneath him was fine. I can't stand Hackett. But when Baldy brought up the offensive line, which is really what the problem is, and I watch a lot of tape, JetX has really, really good tape. Joe Blewett does a lot of stuff that Baldy does. I subscribe to it. I watch it. The offensive line has been a mess. And Keith Carter is the offensive line coach. He came over from Tennessee. And if you read different articles, you'll find out that Breece Hall hates Keith Carter. It doesn't say in one nice thing about him. There is no one in the running backs room that loves Keith Carter. And even the guys that used to work, Mackay, turns around and said, this guy is worthless. Hmm. If you watch and see what the offensive line does, they don't have the proper footing. They're not getting to the second level. When Baldy went into that, I just started pounding my fist on the dashboard saying, that is it. It's right there. There's what the problem is. And the bigger problem is this. Why doesn't Aaron Rodgers see it? Well, I don't understand. He's behind the offensive line. He has to be able to see that some of these guys are not getting off. Breece doesn't want to turn around and yell at his own blockers, I guess. Mm. And it's just not happening. And Breece sometimes will run into it, realize he's not going to get to that second level, kind of give up on it and crumple. I mean, this game coming up against Buffalo, the only good part about it is that their linebacker corps minus Milano is a little more attackable. And I think that we should be able to do better in getting into the second level. And that's really what I'm looking forward to.
I mean, listen, Greg, the Jets beat the Bills with Zach Wilson, you know, last year. So to think that the Jets don't have a shot this week is nuts. I don't know how buttoned up they are. I think you're right. I know the Twitter handle that you referenced, they put out pretty good work. I'm not that I'm scouring the film maybe as much as you, but I peruse it once in a while. It's pretty good, Jets X. And I think that the other thing that jumps out to me, just watching the games, I didn't even look at the film, the Jets tight ends are playing like punters. Like, the Jets tight ends right now are allergic to contact. They are playing soft, and they are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I just don't think that those type things are going to be changed with an interim head coach. And we'll see. And you can look at the Bills and say, well, the Bills aren't as good as they once were. They're still better than the Jets. And I'm not saying that the Jets can't win that game but, I mean, I thought the Jets would play much better against Minnesota, and they didn't. I mean, many people expected the Jets to compete against Denver. And maybe even more damning is some people like myself wasn't. Actually, you too, BT. We were both in the same spot where I bet Denver plus the points, but we didn't pick them on the air. But we also were reluctant to say the Jets are going to bury a team that they should bury.
I didn't feel great about it.
And there's a reason that that was the case. So I'm certainly not going to go into Monday night off of a Bills team who's lost two in a row. Like, if you think the Bills are going to lose this game, it means that you're going to put a fork in the Buffalo Bills. Assuming Allen is healthy. I know there's some questions about a concussion or whatever over the weekend. Mm-hmm. If Allen's healthy and the Bills lose this game, then they aren't who I thought they were going to be. And then maybe everything is up for the taking. But I would be very wary of a Bills team coming off of two losses in a row.
I think you get in the division. I think it's probably just by nature a four-quarter game. It's tight. They know each other well. They know full of each other. I mean, Durbin's been there for a while. Obviously, Saleh until today was there for a couple years. They played each other twice a year. Last year was wild. I mean, the way it went down in week one with the incredible walk-off win and what transpired since then. Even the year before that, the Jets beat the Buffalo Bills. Like, one of the few clutch throws that Zach Wilson had was like third and seven, whatever it was. He put it right through a keyhole, got the first down. Jets ate up the clock. They won. They almost beat Buffalo up in Buffalo. It was like a couple years ago. It was 2 years ago. It was 0-0 right before the half. And C.J. Mosley, I don't know if you remember this, it was in the rain. He jumped off sides. It extended the drive. The Bills kicked a field goal, and they wound up, you know, piecing together a cheap score or two, and they won. But it was tight. Like, the Jets and the Bills are almost always tight. So I wouldn't read too much into it either way. I think the Bills the last couple of weeks are a little bit more of the Bills than I thought they would be coming into the season. Like, that Mulatto injury was a big thing. I talked about Stephon Diggs. Everybody talked about Diggs. But when Mulatto got hurt and they lost a lot of defensive players based on their salary cap situation, I'm not looking at the Buffalo at the Bills like I'm looking at, you know, a 14-2 Ravens team for a couple of years ago, or the Chiefs. Like, they're beyond reproach. Jets could beat the Bills.
Bills have scored on the season through five games 142 points.
Yeah,
Jets have scored 93. I mean, that's a big thing. Mike is in Butler. What's up, Mike? What's up, Mike? Mike? He's not there. Will is calling from Wilton, Connecticut. What's up, Will?
Hey, Sal. BT, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Will?
Thanks for taking my call. Sal, listen, I just want to go over this with you. I mean, I feel like maybe I missed something early on in the show, but we keep talking about how we want to fire Saleh, you know, week five. We want to fire him last season. I get it, but we keep dwelling on the past. Are you not more optimistic about the future of the Jets?
No, not even today than
you were yesterday.
Correct. Not even. I don't think this even moves the needle in the slightest. Why not?
I don't understand. Like, we get old. I don't get that to me. Like, I don't see how you don't feel more optimistic about.
Oh, let me explain it to you. I'll explain it to you. It's very simple, and we've been saying this. And in case you missed it, check anything out on the Free Odyssey app, because nothing has changed. All right, they fired the head coach. That's great. The offensive coordinator is still here. They still can't run block. They can't run the football. The 41-year-old quarterback, coming off one of the worst games in his career, throwing three interceptions, he's still running things. The owner is making decisions without the general manager having input. They still don't have Reddick. They might trade for Devonta Adams. They're a freaking mess. Well, I would actually ask you, why are you encouraged about this?
I mean, I feel like this shakes everything up. I feel like everyone in that organization, not only the players, the staff, the organization as a whole, everyone is now like, all right, let's maybe turn things around here, and like, let's figure that out. And I feel like this could be the turning point here. Like, I am optimistic.
Yeah, but based on what?
Like, I feel like the guys have respect for this guy, and I feel like things are going to start turning around. I don't know why.
But again, based on what? Because, Will, you asked me a question, and then I gave you facts as to why I don't think that that's going to be the case, and you just said you feel like it. Like, you feel like things might change.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I understand. I think that's a completely fair point. I think you're completely valid in this, and this is just based off instinct and based off of being a player myself, like, how that would affect me.
It would energize you. Yeah, it would energize you. Now, Will, thanks for the call. I got a couple of facts for you. Number one, this might change your opinion a little bit. So, here's a fact that prior to this year, the Rodgers-Hackett Union, as crazy as it seems watching these Jets the last couple of weeks, has had success. Fact number one, indisputable. Fact number two, Robert Saleh is a losing head coach. Losing head coach gone. So the person who's done nothing is now gone. And the people, granted, they've done nothing for this franchise, but at least there's a template for success that they've already seen and used. So that's where my hope comes from. It's not like the Jets are going to win five straight. Right. The Jets are going to be amazing. You got rid of somebody who was a zero as a coach, and in my opinion, a detriment.
He was the reason why Hackett and Rodgers weren't working, though?
No, I'm not saying that. But of the two things, like, based on a coach who is historically awful and a coordinator and a quarterback who, have, as a duo, they've had a lot of success, MVPs, and a lot of wins, like, what's more plausible? Those two guys figuring things out or the coach who's done nothing? I know my answer, and that's where my hope comes. That's where my only hope comes from, quite frankly.
I mean, that makes sense, but then my only retort would be,
see it.
Well, all right,
now
where
has it been? I see it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back at 888-808-1019. You ever go to a game there, BT?
I have not, and it's something that I actually want to do. I've thought about that. I've talked to Jerry about that. It's, let me see, what are they, 4-1? I know
they lost, just lose, you know,
they
to
lost last week. Yeah, Nebraska, tight one. Could have won the game, actually. Had some sloppy play. Otherwise, they could very easily be 5-0. But no, I have not been. Have you?
I went to a game? Only once in my life.
And?
It was the Rutgers-Louisville game.
Oh, the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
That's right.
The pandemonium, you went to that game? Yeah. Carlin actually got us tickets. All me and right. Moose were there. Pandemonium in Piscataway. It was pretty cool. I would go back. It was fun, especially now that they're playing well. But, yeah, you take calls. It's a nice thing.
I heard they do a good thing. Like, I don't know what they call the walk, whatever that walk is. But I heard it's pretty cool on game day. Pretty vibrant. Food trucks. Just a good scene.
And
I want to do that.
Seattle not going anywhere. Of course, the Jets will have a new head coach as they take the field Monday night with Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, being elevated to the interim head coach. Robert Saleh is no more. I mean, geez, all the talk about Robert Saleh.
Oh, my God.
For years.
I couldn't
and
do
this
it anymore.
Is it.
Thank God it's over. Thank God almighty it's over.
This is basically it. After today, you probably won't hear his name mentioned much moving forward, if at all. And now the Jets trying to right their season. Dave is in Flatbush. What's up, Dave?
How you guys doing? Thank God for October baseball for the Mets to be in the playoffs, or else this would be really a tragedy with these Jets. The reality is that it's all on the Jets' inability to develop, draft, and develop a good quarterback. Because we sell our souls to the devil in getting a Rodgers or a Favre or something like that when we have the teams that are just one piece away. And I really believe that a good quarterback would change any coach. I don't think McCarthy's a good coach. I don't think a lot of coaches in the NFL are good. I think that the quarterbacks also create the environment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a foundational thing, Dave, and thank you for the call. That's what we're talking about. Like, it's not even that the Jets keep drafting the wrong players. It's actually been proven that, in some regards, they haven't drafted that poorly when it comes to the quarterbacks. Look at what Geno Smith has done elsewhere. Look at what Sam Darnold has done elsewhere. Like, they haven't, again, not that I would want to take those guys and make them my franchise quarterbacks, but those guys have proven to be successful pros, and to a certain extent, at the very least, franchise quarterbacks.
Wait till Zach gets a shot. He's going to be the best one.
Can you imagine?
I mean, here's what I don't get, though. Now, again, varying degrees of what to expect the rest of the way for the Jets. But Sunday, you know, watching the game, going back and forth between being depressed and being angry. Yesterday on the air, if you listen to our open, I obviously came across, like many of you Jet fans, very unhappy. I expressed that. I had moved from the depression stage to this straight up angry and that stage. Today, I got to be honest, I'm energized today. Like, I don't know where this leads, but at least from a Jets perspective, I'm feeling a renewed sense of, I'm not going to say conviction, because, again, I don't know what awaits, but a new sense of hope. It was just so stale and so absent of the energy that I needed to see from the team and the coach that I'm energized that he's gone.
I could understand that. I would understand it more if they didn't have major fundamental issues elsewhere. Like, if this were just a situation where everything else was okay, everything else was in place, but he was holding them back, then I'd be in agreement with you. I don't view that as this current Jet situation. Papio is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, Papio?
Hey, Sal. BT, how are you?
Great.
Papio.
Listen, I have people in London. And what I hear is that the former ambassador to the UK was embarrassed by the loss of the Jets. And
you mean to the,
that's why dollars out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a bunch of texts on that as well. I heard that too. And he should be. And he should have been embarrassed by the Broncos, the loss as well. So he acted.
But it was especially embarrassing, you know, in London.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Now,
his roots over there. Well, he was over there, obviously, during the Trump administration. I guess maybe he took it more personally. But, you know, I'm sorry. As a fan of this team, I don't need, you know, his former political ground to be the reason for further embarrassment. You know what I mean? Act when the team doesn't look good. And he's just not been, he has not been a good owner. That's all there is to it. I mean, some owners are cheap. You never had an issue with that with Woody. He spends some money. But think about some of the Mangini stuff, the Groves. I think Groves is first. I'm pretty sure. Groves, Mangini. And it's been a circus, dude. Last 14 years been awful. His brother didn't do a good job. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say about the Woody Johnson ownership, except that it's been a colossal fail.
Right.
How do you refute that?
But I find it hard to believe that this, think about all the things that he's been through as owner of the New York Jets.
Yep.
This was the most embarrassing thing. A loss where they didn't even play that badly throughout the game. They started to come back in the game. Now, again, there were certain things in the loss that were certainly embarrassing, but in comparison to what we've seen from this Jets team for years, that's the game you're going to say that you were embarrassed just because it happened in London. That's where you're going to start making a decision. He wasn't embarrassed enough by last year, or that his head coach was texting Joe Beningo. He wasn't embarrassed by that. This loss to an undefeated team in which the Jets fought back in and nearly came back and won. That's going to be the coup de grace. That's the embarrassment that makes you fire Robert Saleh. I'm not buying it.
That's funny, Sal. Don't forget about the Friday game against Miami. And we're embarrassed about that?
Tim Black Boyle Friday. Coming in and spinning it.
Here's Timmy with the 109-yard pick six the other way.
I mean, come on. All the Zach Wilson stuff, this is, wow, he was just embarrassed. He was embarrassed in London.
Fumbles.
I would argue that loss on Sunday, it wasn't even as embarrassing as the loss the week before, let alone the years before. The week before at home to Denver was embarrassing more so than that. That was one of the least embarrassing losses that we've ever seen with the Jets and Woody Johnson. Jimmy is in Delray Beach. What's up, Jimmy?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey,
what you just said, Sal, you're asking yourself, like, why this? Why now? Why fire him now? I think a little light on what was really going on or starting to go on in the locker room was with Quincy Williams' comments.
I referenced that.
After the game on Sunday. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
That's okay.
But, when have you ever heard Quincy Williams, who's been a stud for this team, talk the way he talked on Sunday? Never heard that. Never. And for that to happen, I think that was just probably the start of the end of him losing the locker room. And I think this needed to be done now before the season was completely lost.
Yep.
And then you ask yourself, you know, why the optimism with Ulbrich? I think because, to be honest, I think Saleh has had very little, if anything, to do with the defense for the last 3 years. I think this defense plays for Ulbrich. Like, when have you ever seen Saleh on the sidelines talking to guys after a drive? Getting
I've never
on
seen
knee,
him have a conversation with anybody. Now, I've seen him pat him on the behind. I've never seen him have a conversation with anybody.
You know what I think this is like? And thank you for the call. It's like last year when everybody was basically saying, and maybe not everybody, like I forget where we were in the timeline where you and I were supporting Zach or trying to support Zach.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the thought where like, oh God, I just can't take it anymore. Just give me Tim Boyle. And at least he'd be, there's an unknown. Like it can't be worse. Can't be worse than Zach Wilson. It's different. Gives us hope. Let's see if Timmy Boyle could spin it. And then you saw Tim Boyle and you're like, oh yeah, like, now I know why he's never started. Like,
yeah,
and
the unknown hope is a powerful tool for a lot of people. Trust me, especially with Jet fans, that's really all you had over these years. You got to latch onto it.
Agreed. I'm not saying Ulbrich is going to be the Tim Boyle of coaches. I'm not saying that at all because I do like Ulbrich.
Can he spin it? Can he spin the whistle? Ulbrich can spin that whistle.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, he could spin some curse words at you. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the unknown that is getting everybody excited.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be enough. There's got to be some kind. Like, I like what you said before. Well, I've seen Hackett and Rodgers have the ultimate success.
Mm-hmm. At least I know they've done it before together. Now, it's not the only thing that, and not excited, maybe refocused on the possibilities of saving the season, energized, galvanized, whatever word you want to use. It's not just that. It's that the guy who I think many of us believe was really a bad coach is also gone.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, can he spin it like the backup quarterback or the new guy, elevate him to the interim. I don't know ultimately what Ulbrich's going to be. I would bet that he'll be better than Saleh.
Is Woody going to address the media outside of the statement? Like, is he going to take questions?
He really never does.
Yeah,
almost
which,
never.
Which is bad because I'd like somebody to just ask either him or Joe Douglas and be like, what did you need to learn in the five games this year after you watched this guy for 3 years? Like, why the change? What did you need to learn? What did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen with Saleh? What did you think? He was going to magically wake up and be a good head coach and hold guys accountable all of a sudden? Now, this year, well, Rodgers is back, so what? Like, what made you change? What'd you think was going to happen when you neglected to hire Vrabel, Belichick, or Harbaugh going into the year with Robert Saleh? Why now and not 6 months ago or whatever, 4 or 5 months ago?
It's a great question. I like the answer. It's another miscalculation by an owner who has not done much good or much many good things here for the Jet fans. I think that the dire nature of the coverage now. Again, most of these years, the Jets have been an afterthought. Man, maybe if they get lucky, they can squeeze out 7-8 wins, whatever. You know, the Jets were supposed to be good, so we couldn't hide this year. But, and talking about Woody now. And that's, even if Robert Saleh wanted to change and tried to change, I said to Sal, once we found this out, hey, listen, when you're a player's coach and your team plays with no discipline, you're not a player's coach, you're a substitute teacher. So even if he tried to crack the whip and be Johnny Tough Guy, too late. You know, that the die was already cast, and he was too flexible with the player's needs. And if he tried to change that, they're not dummies. They wouldn't buy it. So it wouldn't work anyway.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up with more of your calls. 888-808-1019. Okay.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Whoa.
What's going up? Devontae Adams, Jets.
You got a Jets news coming up right now. It's not that.
What?
Robert Saleh has been fired.
What? Are you serious?
Adam Schefter just put it out now.
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. First of all, that is stunning.
I got goosebumps, man.
Wow. Now, that is the right move. I am stunned that Woody Johnson did this. I said yesterday, if it keeps up like this, then Woody's going to have to step out of character, and Woody's going to have to deliver an in-season edict or take a very public persona and just lay down the law, and he don't like doing that. For what I commend Woody. This doesn't mean it saves anything, but for Woody Johnson to do this now, I am stunned, but it is absolutely the right move, and Saleh's a good guy. He's an awful coach, and the Jets had to do this.
The Jets,
wow!
Yeah, but the Jets just can't, they can't help themselves here.
Wow!
Because they should have been smart enough to realize that he wasn't the guy after last season.
Oh, they had it. The breaking news live as we were in the middle of ripping the Yankees at 10:10 this morning. And the Jets news broke, and then it's been all Robert Saleh and the Jets since then. We'll finish up on the phones here. A couple of quick notes, BT, from Connor Hughes, who, of course, covers the Jets for SNY and writes for SNY.TV, and he's usually on top of it. There's been conflicting reports. Now, number one, I don't know why this matters to people, but number two, the reports are that some people saying that Robert Saleh was escorted out of the building. Connor Hughes says he was not. Multiple sources told him that Saleh didn't have to be escorted out of the building. Who gives a crap? Like, well, I don't understand. All right, so what? Even if he was, what's the big deal? Well, it's not a police escort out. It's not a firing squad. Like, all right, so somebody's going to walk with him outside the building. What's the big deal?
I don't know what they think that these people are going to do. I think Rex was shown the door that way. And I remember, listen, I think it points to either a sensitivity or a lack of sensitivity that people react to, like a callousness. Like, okay, here, get your little box and throw your little trinkets in the box and get the hell out of here and go find your parking space and leave. So I don't think that the Jets would do Robert Saleh that dirty. I don't get too wrapped up in that. But I do remember the Knicks fired Chaney.
Yeah.
And they actually, I remember the big stud like in 03, if I have the year
walk
right.
Walk out front the garden or something?
Yeah, I had to go get a taxi. He was at the taxi stand. So I think just people react to that. But the bottom line is he's well compensated. He's gone and it is what it is.
Well, think about it. And by the way, so like I said, so Connor says that was not even the case anyway. But yep. Think about this. What would be a normal way to leave? Like, generally, if you get fired from a place, there's no, it's not like, all right, bro, see you tomorrow, see you later, and you walk out. Like,
no, you got to leave the cards and the swabs or whatever it's called. You know?
There's no good exit for that scenario. Anyway, a lot of people are making too big a deal of that, in my opinion. The other thing is Connor just tweeted out the resounding sentiment that he has heard from Jets players after the Saleh firing. How does this fix the offense?
That doesn't surprise me. I've given you my thoughts on how it could possibly, you know, propel the offense just by a different voice in terms of really, you know, you're going to run the football more, but I get it. The one thing you have to watch out for now, like if it's not corrected soon and there's not a commitment to the run and there's progress with Breece Hall and they're scoring some points and they're winning, I wouldn't doubt that out of that locker room that does like Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
I wouldn't doubt if they turn on him. Where if they really feel about Salva the way some people think that they do, even, you know, we had on Willie Colon, he thinks that the locker room's going to really be torn up over this. I'm not so sure, but Willie played, so I was certainly going to give him that benefit there. He knows more than me, obviously. But if Rodgers and the offense doesn't wake up, I mean, he's going to be walking around there like an isolated figure. Like, I could see, like, hey, well, you know, why is Hackett still here? Why'd they get rid of Saleh? Hackett's still, like, players going to start chirping, and that's going to put Rodgers in a tough spot. Well,
yeah, why Lazard and all those drops still here? You're firing the coach that we loved. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Clem is in Rockland. What's up, Clem?
Hey, great show, guys, as usual. Sal, I agree with you. I don't think this is going to move the needle at all, but time will tell. I just feel real bad for the Jets fans because prior to the season, there was so much joy and exuberance, you know, the offense, all their weapons, Aaron Rodgers, the top defense, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like a gut punch after game five. And now I see on Facebook and I hear on the radio that same optimism, and I just feel bad that it's like the same old Jets.
I don't feel bad. You know, we don't need your pettiness or your pettiness. I'm not pettiness. We don't need it. We're good. Mm. We're still standing
all right
here. Whole killable spiel. Yeah, we didn't die yet. We're good. Mm-hmm. All right.
BT, wow. BT, I agree with you on this, though. As a Cowboy fan, I thank the Jets organization for not going after Mike Vrabel. I think McCarthy's at the end. He's going to get fired. Yeah. And if Jones and the Cowboy organization wasn't as pathetic as the Jets organization, we would get Vrabel before them. But both of us are going to be sitting out, missing out on the best coach out there. I think he's got the backbone that Salah didn't have.
Yeah.
And he's just a great coach. And for your sake, I hope someone wakes up and grabs him before either us or someone else does. And let's go, Mets!
Hey, there you go, Clem. Oh, thank you for the call. Good job to end on a high note with the Mets right there. But clearly you could tell Clem not a fan of the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the thing about it, you just mentioned the Cowboys there. I would imagine, given Jerry Jones's age, if and when, like, if they implode this year and then McCarthy's obviously gone, I don't know, even though Vrabel's awesome, I could see him going after Belichick at age 73, 74, because he's got, you know, Jerry's old, so he wants to win now. I can't worry about that. Right now, you fix it. The Buffalo Bills are not what they looked like a couple of weeks ago. The Dolphins are done, and the Patriots are worse. So is there a path to win the division? There is. People can mock that. People can laugh at that. The Jets were thought to have a really talented team, and I still think that they could, with a few tweaks, win some games. It's got to start Monday night.
Right. Like, at some point, they have to do it. What I will say is, like, if you actually step back and think about where we're at for the second straight year, you know, last year was Rodgers is here. He's ours. Hard Knocks. Here we go. Playoffs, Super Bowl. And week one, unfortunately, has a catastrophic injury, out for the season. And then there was the belief in Zach, and I get it, unkillable, all that stuff. But we knew that petered out. And then all offseason was, yeah, but Rodgers is coming back, and here we go, and Super Bowl, and this is different, and he looks great. And here we are again, 5 weeks in. It's now 2 years in a row. Last year was 1 week, and then it took, you know, the little remnants after we realized Zach Wilson wasn't good enough to realize they weren't any good. Now it's 5 weeks in, and the Jets have fired Saleh. Like, think about big picture storylines, expectation going in versus results. It's almost hard to believe we're already. Almost.
Lucky us. All facts that you want to. But incorporate this other fact. What did I say? What would be the one thing that would derail the Jets season if they did get derailed? It would be?
This year?
Yep. It would be the coach gone.
Yeah.
That's what I said. The Jets will win in spite of Saleh. And if they don't, it's probably going to be because of Saleh. He's gone. I'll take that as a starting point.
We'll see. Jake is in Nyack. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. BT Sal. Love your show. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go on
a very short rant here, and I'll hop off and let you guys speak. But I've been a Jets fan my entire life. I'm 37 years old. long life of suffering. But I don't want to pretend that firing Robert Saleh is going to fix this mess. The problem was never Saleh. And I'm not saying that you guys said it was. I'm just ranting here. And it's Woody Johnson. I mean, this team has been dysfunctional for years. And he's the one common denominator of it all. He's made terrible decision after terrible decision. Going back, I can remember to 2012 when he brought on Tim Tebow onto the team, a PR circus. Going to the hiring of Adam Gates, a shiny hiring after he'd proven himself as a failure in Miami. And more recently, in 2019, allowing McCagan to run the 2019 draft and spend millions in free agency. Yeah. I'm not even
scratching the surface.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm wrapping up here. I just think that Woody has his priorities all screwed up. He's worried about being the UK ambassador a second time in a row now, buying the English Premier Chelsea Football Club. It's a disgrace. It is an absolute disgrace.
Thank you for the call there, Jake. We were up against it, so we got to let you go. But good passion with that call. I mean, there is one common denominator. He's not wrong.
There's always a correlation. You have a bad franchise, you probably have a bad owner. I appreciate him trying to fix this today. We'll remain, we'll see if it does. He has not been good.
You know, many used to say that about Dolan, and now nobody says a peep about James Dolan because every team in the Garden is on fire with the Knicks and Rangers doing very well.
Yeah.
Maybe that can happen for Woody one day. Unfortunately, I don't think that day is anytime soon.
You guys going to win today or what? What did he score? Yeah, Mets what? Mets what? Phillies what?
8-2, Mets.
Woo! Fiento's going your Petey, Lindor, what do we got?
Definitely Lindor, probably Pete as well. Yeah.
All right, a little winker action maybe, a little contribution from Anaya.
Big win for the Mets.
A little one-hitter from Anaya.
I just hope the place is nuts. Louder than Yankee Stadium was last night, and it was loud last night.
You know what I would hope? I hope you don't have a 3-2 lead and Diaz coming out of the pen late. That's the one thing I would hope you don't have.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.